And we're running as you like there, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Shadow Turning Congregation on the side of the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 30, 2016, our Sebat 2, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, Wonderful Words of Love. Turn and over again to me, wonderful words of love. Let me know of their beauty, see, wonderful words of love. Words of love and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Just what the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of love. Sing this to the loving tongue, wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, moving us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Yeshua, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Things that obtained before and after the earth is made anew. Isaiah 65, we ended our sermon with this portion of this before, our last one, but we're going to pick up with the very front page, the first page again on this study. V.T. Hallett gave it in 1947 in June, and I feel it's necessary that we review what we did yesterday on our last study. And go a little bit slower and maybe try to remember a few of the finer points that we need to know. We'll start with the prayer thought. It says, the Mount of Blessing 209. Not all who profess his name and wear his badge are Yahshua. Many who have taught in my name said Yahshua will be found wanting at last. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These persons who believe that they are right when they are wrong are claiming Yahshua as their Master and professedly doing great works in his name. They are workers of iniquity. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. He who declares Yahweh's word is to them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. For the people here described like to hear Yahweh's word, but that is as far as they go. I hope there are none here only to listen, but to do something about it. only the doers of the word are justified. Let us kneel and earnestly pray that Yahweh will help us not to be mere professors of the truth, but actual doers of the truth. Okay, in the prayer thought, let's get right on into our study. We're in things that obtain before and after the earth is made new, Isaiah 65. And it says, as we study, we shall see that it bears record of the things that take place in the period before the earth is made new, and in the period after it is made new. We shall begin our study with the first verse, Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Paul, writing unto the Romans, applies this verse unto the Gentiles coming into the gospel, Romans 10:20. There are therefore those who sought the Yeshua without asking for him, and those who found him without seeking after him. This condition, laden with results, points out that the Yeshua is easily found. Isaiah 65:2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Here is a great contrast between the well informed in the things of Yahweh and the ignorant Gentiles. While the former are pulling away, although the Yeshua is tearfully pleading with them, the latter are drawing nigh unto him. Here we see how patient Yahweh is. He continues to plead on and on. It is hard for him to give up a sinner before all possible means to save are exhausted. Here it is clearly seen that it is easier to save a heathen than it is to have a well-satisfied, deluded Christian. Isaiah 65:3. A people that provoketh me to anger continually under my face, that sacrifices in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Well, this is your Adventist church collectively, with the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Shepherd Rod as well. For the sacrifice in gardens is to make a display of the religion, and altars of the brick. The product of man, not of Yahweh's creation, is a stone. Are the works of man. Cain offered an undesirable sacrifice, but the people brought to view in this scripture offer on an undesirable altar. The one is as bad as the other. And what could altars of brick be if not places of worship that the Yahweh himself has not commanded to be built? Isaiah 65:4. Which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessel. To remain among the graves is to be denied of having a part in the resurrection of the saint, and to lodge in the mountains is to live in a so-called exalted cliff of life, dead to Yahweh and alive unto the world. For the Jews were quite careful of what they ate. But here is a forecast of people whose appetite are as loose as were Adam's and Eve's while partaking of the forbidden fruit. Although we as a people profess to be strict in keeping the unclean meats away from our table, this scripture nevertheless unveils the shameful truth. It makes known that many are indulging in these abominable things. In one part of the world, perhaps they indulge in one abomination, and in another part of the world, they indulge in another abomination. Isaiah 65:5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose. a fire that burneth all the day. On the one hand, they are careless, and as they can be, eating anything and everything, clean and unclean alike. And on the other hand, they have a high opinion of themselves. They think themselves holier than any other. Plainly then, those who indulge in the abomination, which verse 4 tells about, are the very ones who protest against having communion with those who try to live a life consistent with their profession, fearing that reformation might take place, satanic indeed. Elohim hates hypocrites more than he hates any other kind of sinner. Those who are thus pushed to the right and to the left see the perfect fulfillment of this scripture at this very time. Isaiah 65:6-7. Behold, it is written, before me I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith Yahweh, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemy upon the hills. Therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Verse 6 needs no comments, but a sentence on verse 7 will suffice. For the Pharisees of yesterday and the Pharisees of today, so to speak, we see are to receive similar rewards. Isaiah 65:8-9. Thus saith Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And the seed of Jacob, the inheritor out of Judah, is Yahshua the elect, his servants are those who escape the destruction here mentioned. They are to be a blessing unto others. Symbolically speaking, the mountains are the kingdoms of Judah and Israel gathered together, as also foretold in Ezekiel 37:16-28. But if taken literally, the mountains are those in the promised land. The phrase, mine elect shall inherit it, changes the object from the plural mountains to the singular, it, and makes the symbolism carry both thoughts, the kingdom and the location of it. The verse that follows verifies this very thought. Isaiah 65:10, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. Verses 9 and 10 carry us from the Jewish period into the Christian era, then down to the restoration and consolidation of the kingdom of Judah and Israel and the land of our fathers, Sharon and Achor. Isaiah 65:11. But ye are they that forsake the Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish a drink offering unto that number. Those who are to be destroyed are those who do not particularly care for his holy mountain. For the kingdom mentioned in these scriptures, there are those who prepare a table, or who assemble passages of scripture taken out of their sitting, and with them they teach the group, or the troop that is of the same mind as themselves. For the furnishing of the drink offering is as much as to say that the troop is drinking and whatever their teachers put out. Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Under this call of Yahweh they did not answer, neither do they hear him speaking, for they are inclined to do evil. They delight in their own ways and hate the Yahweh. Of this sin they are possibly not conscious. Isaiah 65:13-15. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall be a cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yahweh Elohim shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. This evil does may not, these evildoers may not now give even a thought unto this solemn warning, but as sure as day is followed by night, just as sure, their want, shame, sorrow, and calamity are soon to come. For the denominational name will they leave unto Elohim's servants, that is, to those who escape from the Yahweh's sword shall the name consequently be left. The name, however, is left only as a curse, and his servants will be called by another name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of the truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of the truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. In this verse is implied that the Yahweh is taking this strange action because his unfaithful servants have not been blessing themselves and the Elohim of the truth. Consequently, they must have been blessing themselves and the Elohim of falsehood. That is, they have been teaching, approving, and spreading falsehood while Yahweh is endeavoring to bless all his servants with the truth fresh from his throne. Unto those who embrace his truth for this time, he will never bring up their past. Isaiah 65:17. Therefore, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Here we are brought down to the time that the Yahweh finally renews the heaven and the earth. Isaiah 65:18-19. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Yerushalayim a rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Yerushalayim, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. We are encouraged to rejoice because Yerushalayim, as well as her people, are created for joy. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more offense in infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Concerning the wicked in the earth made new, who come up in the second resurrection, the resurrection of the unjust, Revelation 20:5, there shall be neither birth nor death among them for 100 years. Thus the only children that shall be among them will be those who are raised from the dead. Consequently, both those who are old and those who are young will have lived 100 years from the resurrection of the unjust to the second death. Thus the child and the sinner, becoming 100 years old in the earth, made new, shall both succumb to the end of the century. Then the righteous shall inhabit the whole earth. Isaiah 65:21-22. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Again, we see that the hereafter is to be as real and as natural as was the Garden of Eden in the day it was created. So the message of the Elijah shall indeed restore all things, all that was lost through sin. Okay, Psalm. Isaiah 65:23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. Much of our labor on this earth is done in vain, and many of our sons and daughters are also born in vain. But in the earth made new, no one shall labor in vain, and nothing shall be brought forth for trouble. Isaiah 65:24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. For the answers to some of our prayers, we often wait long. Most of them are not answered as we want them to be. But in the earth made new, there shall be no more, no delay, and no disappointment. In Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Yahweh. There shall be peace all around. We shall not see men quarreling, nor beasts fighting and eating one another. There shall be real and perfect peace among them all. If we could only realize what Elohim has prepared for them that love to study His Word and to walk in His ever-increasing light, then we would make Yahweh's business our chief interest. Then we would no longer waste our enemies striving for the material things of life. They will be added unto us while we diligently labor for the upbuilding of His kingdom. For He Himself says, the workman is worthy of his hire. Okay, that's the end of number 44. Now we have number 45. And there's a text for prayer now for that. Mount of Blessing 209. A mere profession of discipleship is of no value. A belief that does not lead to obedience is presumption. For the Apostle John says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let none cherish the idea that special providences or miraculous manifestations are to be the proof of the genuineness of their work or of the ideas they advocate. When persons will speak lightly of the word of Yahweh and set their impressions, feelings, and exercises above the divine standard, we may know that they have no light in them. Obedience is a test of the discipleship. It is the keeping of the commandments that proves the sincerity of our professions of love. When the doctrine we accept kills sin in the heart, purifies the soul from defilement, bears fruit unto holiness, we may know that it is the truth of the Elohim when benevolence, kindness, tender heartedness, sympathy are manifest in our lives. When the joy of right doing is in our hearts, when we exalt Yahshua and not Him, not self, we may know that our faith is of the right order. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Okay, it says, text of address now, that's the end of prayer thought. Timely greeting number 45. It's the mighty Esau's and the unpretentious Jacob's. June 14th, 1947. We're going to study this 66th chapter of Isaiah. In this chapter, the Yahweh speaks unto two groups of servants. The servants up to the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. Unto the judgment for the living, the purification of the church, Testimony Volume 5, page 80, the time in which they are found smiting their fellow servant, eating and drinking with the drunken. The other servants are the servants thereafter. To hear what the Yahweh has to say unto his former servants as the time of the cleansing approaches, we shall begin to study with the first two verses of the chapter. Isaiah 66:1-2. Thus saith Yahweh, the heavens is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. By saying the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, Yahweh actually said that he has not forsaken the earth, that through his, though his throne is in heaven, his feet are still on earth, that he is still interested in his people. But the question, where? Is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Sadly revealed that the Yahweh, that the work has been neglected. That neither a house nor a place of rest has been prepared for him. The Yahweh's next statement further confirms this fact, for he reiterates that the things which he found were only those things which always were and which his own hand, not the hand of the servants, have made. Then by saying, but unto this man will I look, even unto him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word, he positively makes known that his unfaithful servants are discharged from his word, that others poor and of a contrite spirit who tremble at his word have taken their places, that what the former servants have failed to do, the latter will do. At the same time, he charges the former servants that they feel rich in spirit and in need of nothing more, that they do not fear his word. Hence, the servants who are to build him a house and to make a place for his rest are to be men of a poor and of a contrite spirit, men who tremble at his word, men who are not proud and not unboastful, but who are teachable and mindful of his word, men who are penitent and see themselves in need of everything instead of in need of nothing. Finally, the Yahweh angrily declares, Isaiah 66:3-4, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man, he that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Also will choose their delusion, and I will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. No matter how good or how important the sacrifices may be, so long as we serve him in our own way, our gifts and sacrifices are an abomination unto him. Man's own ways must be abandoned even though it be the hardest test of faith, if he is to make peace with the Yahweh. There is no question but that Elohim has now sent this warning message unto his faithful, self-important servant, though they do not and will not hear. Having said what he wished to say to them, he now turns unto his newly hired servant. Isaiah 66, 5 and 6. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of Yahweh that rendereth recompense unto his enemies. Some have already had the experience of being carried bodily out of the churches for no other reason than for having read the shepherd's rod and for having said, I believe what it says. It is incredible that men should act like demons. It is nevertheless so, and Elohim himself testifies against their demon practice. We do not pity ourselves and are not at all angry at ourselves, but we are sorry about their spiritual blindness and misery, poverty, and nakedness, for we know that the coming joy is to be ours, and the sorrow and shame and gnashing of teeth theirs. This we know as verily as Jacob knew that Elohim was with him in the flight from the face of Esau. For the Esau's of today, though, do not know this. No, they do not know it any more than Esau of old knew of Jacob's night vision of the ladder that extended from heaven to Jacob's dew-soaked bed. If any part of the Bible has become present truth, Isaiah 66:5 certainly is. Consequently, from the city there is a noise, and there is a voice from the temple against us. But the voice of the Yahweh, the message of today, is what counts and what settles all things. Are you afraid of being cast out, or are you trembling at Yahweh's word? Now you have to make your choice against opposition if you expect to be in the kingdom eternal. Isaiah 66:7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. For a woman to be delivered of a child before she travails and before her pain comes is an incredible thing, a miracle. That is just what happened to the church when the Yahshua was born in the manger of Bethlehem. The church knew not her visitation, and though she felt no need of a Savior, travail not, yet she brought forth the child. But according unto the verse that followed, the church in this day shall experience even a greater miracle than did the church in Yahshua's day. Isaiah 66:8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. For the church is now filled with terrors, with bad fish, and with ghosts. It is hard to find the saint. She is nevertheless all at once to bring forth a multitude of converts which no man can number. Let's continue here. It says, the denomination does not believe this, no more than the Jews believe that the Savior was born in the manger, nor any more than did they expect the fishermen of Galilee to take the places of the pious priests and of the exalted religious leaders of that day. And no more did they expect the Gentiles to share in the promises of the Israel, the denomination of the day, too. Thinks that tomorrow is to be as today. that the Yahweh Elohim has left man forever to do as he pleases. She does not know that the Yahweh is taking the reins in his own hand. Testimonies of Ministers, page 300. She still thinks that she is rich and increased with goods, truth, and has need of nothing more. The church will nevertheless see all the promises fulfilled. She will see that these scriptures are not in the Bible, merely to fill space. As soon as she thus travails and feels her need, just that soon will her course be filled with the saints and her work finished. Isaiah 6:9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Yahweh? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith my Elohim? Would the Yahweh have made these promises if he were not able to fulfill them? This is the great question before you, before me. And would he start something if he cannot perform and finish? You must not lightly pass over these questions, for your answers will decide your destiny. Isaiah 6:10-14. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice with joy with her, and all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will extend peace unto her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her side, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforted, and so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of Yahweh shall be known toward his servant, and his indignation toward his enemies. Okay, it says, here we are told that only those who mourn for Jerusalem, those who pray for the establishment of his antiquated throne of David and kingdom, are to rejoice with her. They and only they will profit from the abundance of her glory. None others will share her peace and her abundant glory. No, none others will be dandled upon her knees. The sinners shall not be comforted in Jerusalem, and their lukewarmness will come red hot and put them running to the hills and to the rocks of the mountains. Revelation 6:14-17. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yahweh will come with the fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in their gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination in the mouth shall be consumed together, saith Yahweh. After the Elohim has done all he can to direct the path of his servant, and there is no more remedy, just then divine retribution is to be meted out. Those who continue to walk in their own way will then find themselves in the wide path where there is no divine mercy, where the avenger of the justice takes his toll. They are those who sanctify and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree, behind the leader. That is, they pretend to be very religious in their gathering places, trusting that the minister will lead them through to the kingdom. They indulge in the use of forbidden meats, at the same time boastingly pretend to be sanctified and purified. To the Yahweh, however, they appear as whitewashed sepulchres full of rotten flesh, as cups that are clean on the outside but filthy on the inside. Isaiah 66:18-19. for I know their works and their thoughts. And it shall come to pass that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal and Avan, to the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. What the Yahweh is about to do is not to be done in secret. It is not an imaginary thing, not something enshrouded in mystery to be guessed at, but it is a plain and open act before all the nations. Now to their own destruction, men argue that this is a spiritual slaughter. What is a spiritual slaughter? No one knows, although it is plain to see that it is a judgment for the living. That's your spiritual slaughter. The fact that for over a century, the denomination has been teaching that the judgment for the dead is to separate the good from the bad, the tares from the wheat. Their foolish arguments now prove that they are not only ignorant of it, but even too blind, Revelation 3:17, that even after told and shown what it is, they cannot see it. Although they claim to know that the judgment is to separate the wheat from the tares, the good from the bad, that it is to cleanse the sanctuary by the blotting out the names of the bad and the sins of the good, they do not admit that this strange act of Yahweh is nothing less than the judgment for the living in the house of the Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. This is who we are. We represent the house of Yahweh, house of David. For the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the purification of the church, Testimonies, volume 5, page 80, the cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3, no longer try to console yourselves that the slaughter of the Yahweh is something imaginary or that it takes place after the close of probation. Now get ready lest you fall. Let no man divert your attention from it. The verse we just read explains that those who escape the Yahweh's sword will be sent unto the Gentiles, unto those who have not heard his fame or seen his glory, and they shall declare his glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring into the house of Yahweh all who will be saved. Here let us read this Yeshua's exact words, Isaiah 6:20-21. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yeshua, or saith Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith Yahweh. Now, in view of the fact that those who escape the slaughter of the Yahweh are sent as missionaries, preachers, and ministers unto all the nations and peoples who as yet know not Elohim and his gospel, there is but this conclusion, that the slaughter takes place only among Yahweh's people, that it is a judgment for the living in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. The shepherds are slain because they have kept their sheep away from the Yahweh, green pasture, present truth, that the faithful laity take their places, that then the church, bright as the sun, fair as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners, goes forth into all the world conquering and to conquer. Thus is the gospel work finished, and the wicked brought unto an end. Only those who have withstood temptation and strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry. Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. But this is not the case. Elohim has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Elohim has never made the flock wholly depend upon human instrumentality. But the days of purification of the congregation are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true. And the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 6:22, for the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. With this first inspiration now begins to disclose things which take place in the earth made new. In Isaiah 6:23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. For the Sabbath, you see, is as eternal as the earth. It is to be kept not only now, but even after this sin-cursed earth is made new. And not only now are Elohim's people to meet together in the house of the Yahweh each Sabbath, but they shall joyfully continue to do so throughout eternity. Isaiah 6:24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. Although the preceding verses of this chapter are not studied much by any, the last two have often been discussed and debated upon by many to some. They mean that there is to be an eternal torment. But does the scripture at all sustain such a thought? No, it does not. For the definition of carcasses is lifeless bodies. And the prophet Malachi said, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the Yahweh that day shall burn them up, saith Yahshua of the host. They shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calf, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the soul. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. Malachi 4:1-3. For the carcasses at first, and the ashes at last of the unfaithful servant, being under the feet of the saints, can hardly indicate that the unfaithful are pushed into hell fire. They're to live forever. Moreover, since only the righteous are given eternal life, then the wicked must be given eternal death. Furthermore, second death, Revelation 20:14, cannot mean second life. For the theory of the eternal torment has been superficially derived from the statement, their worm shall not die. The worm that gorges on their carcasses. No, cannot possibly mean that the souls of the people, at least, it cannot mean such to them who digs deep into the well of the salvation, and that can think and reason for himself. Such a one reads between the lines and knows the full value of each word. If worm means anything, then it means that the worm thrives on the carcasses, that it is the agency which reduces the constituents of the carcasses to the original element. Indeed, the worm shall not die. It shall certainly accomplish his consuming work. For the carcasses shall be he bring down to dust. For dust thou art, saith the scripture, and unto death thou shalt thou return. Genesis 3:19. Is this integrating agency, the consuming worm that does not die. Moreover, we are told that the soul that sinneth it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. It is plainly seen that the preaching of the eternal suffering in hell far rather than eternal death is prompted by the unscrupulous so-called soul winners endeavoring to drive their audiences into the church by fright. But if they knew that only the born again, through the love of the truth, are given the right to enter into the holy city, if they knew that those who must be frightened and are excluded from it, if they knew that anything which maketh a lie is also not given the right to enter therein, if they wholeheartedly knew all these, they would perhaps stop preaching eternal life and hell fire and begin to preach eternal love of the truth. Let us now close our study by reading the Yahweh's final plea. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Yeshua, Master, doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Yeshua of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24:42-51. There is but one choice for you to make, and that is to cease keeping company with the mighty Esau's and to join the unpretentious, truth-laden Jacob's. That's the house of David, everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, and so forth. Okay. That brings the end of our study. We actually got about 3 to 4 minutes left, but our next study is be the last one here in time of greeting, number 46. And, no, it's number 47. Number 46. The servants of Yahweh in a gathering time, a Jacob's time of trouble, Judah and Israel going home, Yahweh's certification to resurrect, purify, and consolidate Judah and Israel. Text for prayer. Founded upon a rock. Mount of Blessing 2:11. For the people had been deeply moved by the words of Yahshua. His words had struck at the very root of their former ideas and opinions. To obey his teaching would require a change in all their habits of the thought and action. It would bring them into collision with their righteous teachers. Since the teachings of Yahshua require a change in the thought and action, we should not be surprised if that is what his message of the day would require of us. Let us conclude today's reading by turning to page 216. He who is like the Jews in Yahshua's day, builds on the foundation of the human ideas and opinions, of the forms and ceremonies of man's inventions, or on any works that he can do independently of the grace of Yahshua, is erecting his structure of character upon the shifting sand. For the fierce tempest of the temptation will sweep away the sandy foundation and leave his house a wreck on the shores of time. Let us pray for Elohim to help us Make sure that the foundation of our faith is built upon Elohim's word, the solid rock, that we might know that anything short of it will sooner or later fall, that we let the Yahweh have his way in us, that we let him change our habits and practices from what they are to what they ought to be. Okay. It says that we are to study the 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the servants of Yahweh and the gathering time, their racial lineage, and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses, Isaiah 49:1-3. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Yahweh hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, and the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, who is this prophecy fulfilling with today? It is antithetical Elijah. This is who he's talking about. Okay, it says, the Spirit of Yahweh in the person of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Elohim's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. Since Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah, when the prophet wrote the truth, clearly stands out that the Spirit of Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally to Jacob himself, but to his descendants, to those whom this truth is made known and who now bear the responsibility for the broadcasting of it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahweh is to be glorified, and who again bring Jacob to him, Isaiah 49:3-5, are themselves too to be made known internationally. They are those who finish the gospel works, the very last, unto whom the Yahweh gives a sharp, or give a mouth as sharp as a sword. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Victory in Yahshua.
I heard an old, old story, I'll save your hand from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is in him. He grants me victory beneath the crimson flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. I made the land to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Yahshua, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Yahshua came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me in his redeeming blood. He of the Lord is near. He trusts me to victory beneath the crimson flood. Heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About his angels singing and the old redemption story. The sanctuary they'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and now my Lord is near. Trust me to victory beneath the crimson flood.